John chapter 1. I hope this message is challenging to you tonight. I hope it makes you a little uncomfortable. I hope it makes you where you can't relax, because it never said thou shalt relax. Sometimes being comfortable is the thing that keeps us from growing. Used to have, when we was younger, used to have what you call growing pains. So my knees would be hurting. I'm 12, 13 years old, my knees would be hurting. I thought it was something wrong. I said, I ain't hit my knee, what's going on? It's just growing pains. It's something that happens when you're growing. When you're stretching, it's not comfortable. And when you're growing to somewhere, growing into something, it is never a comfortable thing. Once again, I'll say it, and I said this Sunday, that faith has, in modern faith, it has become fantasy to us. So it's an alakazam, it's a magic trick. You say in Jesus' name, it's supposed to pop off. You pray for an hour and it's supposed to happen. You read for an hour, it's supposed to happen. But we've read for hours and prayed for hours and said Jesus' name more than everybody. And sometimes things didn't happen like they should. Amen. Amen. And so faith cannot be a fantasy. It has to be a reality. It is not this thing in the air where everything is going to be all good all the time. Everything's going to feel all right all the time. We don't want to get no dirt on us all the time. We don't want to go through no burial, although the reason that we are born again now and the reason that we have victory came through a death and a burial. Come on. And remember, Jesus says, I am the way. Then he begins to say, and I don't have, this is not what I'm going into, but he begins to say, the works that I do, shall you do also. So that means the way that I went, you must go also. He even said that. He said, the way that I go, you know. How are we going to know the way? He said, I told you, this is the way. Look at me. I'm the way. And watch how I'm going, and that's how you should go. And so I mentioned Sunday how we make things about self. And it's just like in the beginning. It's just like with the tree of Garden of Eden. We make it about ourselves. We make it prayer for us. He died for my sins so that I don't have to die, although we got to be crucified with Christ. Amen. That's scripture. Amen. And we make it so much about ourselves. And it's a trick from the enemy. I just tell you now, it's a trick from the enemy. And I said it again Sunday. We may have gotten born again because of things that we wanted, but then when you grow up, you start to realize what it's really about. When we were children, we did things a certain way. We had problems sharing when we was kids. That's mine, give it here. Why are you looking at me like that? Come on, y'all know, amen, all the different immaturity we had when we were children. We did things a certain way. We thought it was about a certain thing. How many of y'all remember that you thought life was just over when you was in high school and that little relationship broke up for you? Or trying to go to the dance. And oh, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord, please let them ask me to go to the dance. Oh, Lord Jesus. And we just thought it was the end of the world. Then we get more mature, and then different things in life come as we start realizing how petty that was. See, in maturity, sometimes we realize how petty our prayers have been. When we grow up, everybody say grow up. Grow up. So two things: you got to own up, then grow up. Own up, then grow up. Own up, then grow up. We're talking about a Sunday. Own up, then grow up. Own up, then grow up. Right, right. Own up, then grow up. Everybody say own up, then grow up. Come on, say it. Own up, then grow up. Say it again. Own up, grow up. Now, whether you know it or not, it's one motion. It's not two separate things. It's the process of the whole thing. When you own up is when you begin to grow up. All right, but there's no growth until you own up to what's going on, to where you find out where you are. Yes, you found Jesus. Yes, we've come to the church. Amen. Bravo for that. But now where I am, do I look like him? I got to own up, then I got to grow up. The scripture, Ephesians 4 talking about grow up into him, that we may grow up into him in all things. How many things? I don't have time to go there, but he said that we grow up into him. Not grow up into what you think you need to be grown, but grow up into him. You're not grown until you reach him. Amen. Grown is not an age. Can I get an amen in the house of the Lord? Amen. Grown is not when you reach a certain age and now you can just do what you want to do. Come on. You ain't grown until you reach him. So tonight, John chapter 1, and I want to deal with a couple of tricks because some of the things that you pride yourself on being and doing as a Christian could be the thing that holds you up from being Jesus. It's a tough one. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You see that? In the beginning was the Word. So we got the Word, right? And the Word was where? With God, and the Word was God. So it took it from being somewhere else to being a person. I'll say it again. Took it from being something else or something else you're doing to being a live, living entity. It is a person. Say the Word. Come on, say it again. The Word is a person. Say the Word is alive. Come on, say it again. The Word is a person, and the Word is alive. We talk about rhema word all the time. Rhema, having a rhema, a live word from God. That's not a live word over there. That's a live word in you. Say the Word is alive. So then we scroll down a couple minutes, a couple scriptures. And verse 14, you read it, ready, read. Stop. Read it again. Stop. It's a big W on that word, right? Look like the same word in verse 1, right? So we're talking about the same word, right? Verse 14, read again, ready, read. And we beheld his glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in verse 12, I jump up, it says, but as many received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God. To as many that received him, to them give you power to become the sons of God. To as many as received him. Now you think receiving him was Romans 10, 9, and 10 when you prayed that prayer. Y'all remember that, huh? You confess your mouth to the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved with the heart, man, believe with the mouth, confession made unto salvation, right? So we thought it was over right then, but that was just the own up. That was just saying the way that I got ain't the one that's working. What I look like right now ain't the one, ain't the way that I'm supposed to be looking. That was not the end, it was the beginning. So now, verse 14 again, it says, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And I stress this over and 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 over again, that we must understand that the Word of God and God's intention for his Word was not just to be on a paper and for you to read it and try to follow it on the paper, but he wanted you to be alive as his Word. Remember now, you are the Word of God. Come on, say, I am the Word of God. Say it again, I am the Word of God. Sometimes we ain't hear it this way, but I'm gonna say it again. Say, I am the Word of God. In the beginning, he said, let us make man, then he made us. We started with a word and became living. So I am, say it again, I am the Word of God. So we have to change our minds and condition our minds and break the old ways that we've been thinking so we can get it off the paper into my lifestyle. We've been trying this though. Been trying through laws and commandments and rules and judgments and all these different things. And we've been trying to do it, but we've been failing miserably. We've been failing miserably because the law can't do it on its own. Romans 8, we don't have to go there, but the law cannot do it. It's weak through your flesh. One of them rules and one of them laws and one of them commandments you're going to break. Sometimes trying to do one of them make you break another one. How crazy that is. Let me teach you something about this Bible. This Bible, thank God for the Bible. This Bible, sometimes you can find contradictions in it. Oh, you didn't know? You don't know that? I said, yeah, contradiction. No, I'm not attacking your Bible. Sometimes you can find contradictions. I got to show. Okay, Solomon. Wise man ever live? He had 300 wives and 700 concubines. Calculate this. Sometimes you can find. All right, I'm showing you for a reason. That we can't just be on the page, but we got to be lifestyle. And so thank God for Jesus. Say it loud. I'm going to say it again. Say thank God for Jesus. He took me off the rhetoric and put me in the reality. He took me off the law and gave me or showed me what original life is in me. So now this gives me no choice but to be the living Word, because it says the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That means it was possible that this thing came off this page, or maybe, just maybe, we weren't supposed to start with the page. Maybe the page was telling us where the start came from. Now, maybe some of us started with the page. How many of y'all started reading the Bible when you was younger? Amen. Come on, show a hand. You don't want to lift them right now. We started reading the Bible when we was younger. Okay, hold on. How about your walk with the Father? Your walk with where you didn't even know him as the Father at first. Maybe you knew him as God. That's how we say it now. God. God told me that. You met him as God. Your parents told him that's God. You got to fear God. And we learn to live right before we learn to love. Come on, y'all. Come on, stop. Come on, don't play me now. Y'all know we learn what not to do before we learn what to do. And probably rightfully so, because you ain't know no better as a child. But when I become grown, I do something different. I realize the reality of why I wasn't supposed to do this thing. Or I realize that I couldn't do this thing without loving him more. And me loving him enables me not to do this thing.
Yes.
Me loving him more than anything and putting my life on the line for him keeps me from falling over into this place. But we've been losing royally because we've been going the wrong way. So the word was made flesh. John chapter 5. Go quick. John chapter 5. I get to where I'm getting to. John chapter 5, and we read this Sunday, but I'm going to read it again, and you need to read it over and over again until it hits you in your spirit. John chapter 5, verse 39. Put it on the screen. You can read it. Ready, read. So we got that one down, right? We're pretty good at searching the scriptures, right? You kind of know what some of the books had already. You know what order they're in, and you can find some of your favorite ones, right? And if you're not, you can use the context and the concordance and all that. You know how to do that, right? We know how to search, right? So read it again. Ready, read. And they was testifying me. So in them, you thought, didn't we all think? Come on, amen. We all thought when we searched the scripture, we thought we was getting some life out of that. We was. They searched the scripture, so they're not a problem. Search them. They begin the beginning of it. They start you off on your pathway. You got to start somewhere. Amen. So search the scriptures. For in them, you think you have eternal life. And they was testifying of me. Jesus is talking. Amen. But then he goes to the next scripture and he says, but you will not come to me. You will not come to me. So somewhere in the jungle of those scriptures, you can get caught up and never go into a clear path. It shows me that somehow it's the Holy Bible. It's the word written by, inspired by the Holy Ghost. Y'all know the scripture, right? But we can get caught up in that and never reach life. That means we can know that scripture so much you'll never know you. It's right here, Jesus talking to him. And Jesus was stickler about this. He was not going to leave you, you know, he said, I'm not going to leave you confidence. I'm not going to leave you here with just some papers and some laws. I'm going to show you who you really are and how you can really enable your life to be what it's supposed to be. And you will not come to me that you might have life. So that means I can look at these scriptures, know them up and down, know them left and right, quote them and preach them and still not live them. Still not have the power. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. We do that all day long. Who image you made in? I can't hear you. Whose image are you made in? So you got a form of God, but are you powered like God? Now, I know that you are, but do you know? You got the form, you're made in his image. Made in his image, made in his likeness, he made it plain that you are made in the form of God. Everything about you, even the essence of your soul and your spirit are of God. He breathed that into you. But I have the form. But where's the power? I have the form, but where is the power? I'll say it again. I have the form, but where is the power? John 6:63 said, it's the spirit that quickeneth, make it alive. Do we have to go there? Go to John 6:63 real quick. The flesh profiteth nothing. On its own, it profits nothing. You know, this can be equated to the flesh if there's no life. If it does not leave you to a live living, you can step it out on your own, live living power in you, then this could just be just like the flesh. The flesh profits nothing. Read it. Look, it's the spirit that quickened it, make it alive and fast. I know we always say it don't mean fast, but yeah, fast too. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words, hear those words again. There goes the word again. There's the word again. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are
life.
So the trick is, I gotta go to this other scripture. Yep. Let's go here real quick. Go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I think it is. If not, I'm just gonna keep looking. Is that the one I'm looking for? Yep. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5, and I have to point some things out to you because I'm going to read you something. I'm going to take you somewhere else, and I'm going to show you how to get from, look at me for a second, I'm going to show you how to get from just on those pages to a reality. Amen. There's certain steps you got to take, and it's going to be tough for you. Not that he was lying when he said his yoke is easy. But his yoke doesn't seem very easy when the only yoke you know is the yoke of this world. See, if you've been conditioned ever since you've been little, and even in church, amen, even in religion, amen, if you've been conditioned a certain way, then when it's time to go the other way, sometimes it's a little difficult. Although that way is the easier way, and that way is the original way, and that way is the way that which you experience all the power that you've been praying for, it's a little difficult to turn around sometimes when you've been trained to go that way. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So I'm gonna turn you around a bit. Verse 5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. Last line, read it. Read it a little louder. Say it again. Verse 6. Now remember, when he's talking about the New Testament. There was no New Testament at this time. Like what you talk about, the New Testament, like, you know, Malachi, and then they jump over, you know, come on, look at your Bible, got Malachi, the last book of the Old Testament, and then flip over, and they got the little page that say New Testament, and you flip over, right? Right, and Matthew, right? No, he's not talking about that, because that didn't exist. That wasn't existing at this time. So the New Testament was something else. The New Testament wasn't a writing, it was a living. The New Testament was, and you know, testament comes from the word, you know, testify. And when you testify, you give a live account of something. That means when you testify, really, right? When you testify, you really got to use your life and your eyes and what you experience to give a testimony. So the New Testament, who's the New Testament? All right, here we go. Who has made us able ministers. Able pastor outers, when you see ministers, is not a reverend or somebody finished ministry school or somebody's been ordained. The word minister simply means to pass out. Look it up. Who has made us able pastor outers. I know that don't make no sense, but this is how we're going to say it. Of the new life. Not of the. Come on, say it. Not of the, but of the. And we know the three parts. I am a spirit, I have a soul, live in a body. Say it. I am a, I have a, and I live in a. Come on, say I am a, I have a. Come on, you got to say it right. I am a, I have a, and I live in a. The true me is the spirit of God on the inside of me. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells where? On the inside of who? All right. So now has made us able ministers of the new life, the new testament, the new story. There's a new story. Not of the letter, but of the spirit. For the letter, what? The letter does what? No. Not these letters. Not these right here. He must have been talking about something else. He can't be talking about these letters. These letters don't kill. I don't know what he was talking about that day. Paul's talking now. He said, for the letter, kill it. But the spirit, So you mean to tell me I can get caught up in these letters and fool around and die and mess around with it? You mean, and you know, killeth and dying, that means there's no fruit. You mean to tell me I could be doing more damage than help? Off of these letters? And then even not, now, and I know sometimes when we read, we think the letters A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, you know what I'm saying? But he's talking about letters because these were letters. I got a little history lesson. Can we go a little history lesson real quick so we can understand what's going on? You see Corinthians and Galatians and Ephesians, all these were letters. Like you ever wrote a letter? You ever had a pen pal? You remember you used to have a pen pal was in school? Or you write a letter to somebody when you're not there, send a card to somebody. These were letters. All right, so Paul was not there preaching this message. Somebody was reading this message to the people in Corinth on his behalf. They were letters. So he said, these letters that I'm writing to you going to kill you. Wow. Boy, will somebody tell you that? Apostle preached us like that. He said, listen, I want to preach to you so good and I want to teach you so well that even if I go off, you'll know the difference. You ever heard him say that before? I want to teach you so well that even if I miss it, you won't miss it. All right? See, that's when somebody loves you. When they put themselves on the block. Somebody really loves you when they put themselves on the line. For the letter itself, and this is a letter that he's writing, these are all these letters. He said, this letter itself will kill you unless you don't go any further than just the letter. If you do not get to the spirit of the thing, if you do not become the spirit of the thing, when I write these letters to you, I'm talking about you. But if you don't get past what I'm writing to who you really are, it'll kill you. Some of us have been killing ourselves all day long. The Bible talks about to kill yourself all day long. Some of us have been killing ourselves. We've been killing ourselves trying to get this stuff done. Come on, come on. Can you say amen with me? Tell the truth. Then one time, come on. Can you be honest? Come on, breathe in, breathe out. Can we be honest real quick right now? You've been killing yourself praying so hard. Lord Jesus. You've been killing yourself. You're trying to do the right thing, but you're just wearing yourself out. Trying to do the right thing, though. But you just wearing yourself out. You wailing in the spirit. You wearing yourself out. You stressing yourself more than you're blessing yourself. You giving yourself more anxiety and problems than anything else. Because you're trying to work hard by your hand and warding with your foot. This letter by itself will kill. But it must be the spirit that gives life. Are you understanding me? You can put this scripture with John 5:39. Search them scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me, but you won't come to me. In other words, come to me. Before you get caught up in them scriptures. So I said, Jesus, you want me to come to you, but I got these scriptures, but you want me to come to you. How do I get to where you are? How do I get to be like you, Jesus? How do I get to function like you? John chapter 15. And I could do some reading in John 15 all day long, but I'm not going to do it right now. Glory to God. See, there's a... Amen. Thank you. I didn't know what it was. Thank you. Just grab it off my head. Thank you. Scripture talk, but there's a way that seems right to man. You ever heard that before? And there's a way that seems right. You're trying to do the right thing. How many of y'all really love God in here? Make some noise. And you endeavor to do the right thing, right? Amen. But the same noise and the same energy, I want you to, well, you don't have to make noise about this because this ain't really nothing to make noise about. But sometimes you tried real hard and failed miserably. Yeah. True? True. And in that, although the Bible says, you know, you don't question God. We learned don't question God. We never ask why to God, but you didn't ask why before. Yeah. Tell the truth up in the church right now. Yeah. I know I prayed and I know I took the oil and I smeared it over. And I know I did all the things that I was supposed to do. All right, God, what's going on? Come on, smile about it. Come on. We just learning. But then there's something in the equation that you left out. Problem here, the Father there, so you think. The problem here and the Father there, so you think. I wouldn't. The problem right here, and the father is there, so you think. It's something you're leaving out of the equation. You left out you. I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. If you say to the mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast away, and shall not doubt nor believe, and those things which you say shall come to pass, you'll have what? Come move the mountain. I'm not coming to move the mountain. You got to move it. Jesus said, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, see, he do also, and greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. Now, we was talking about divine transaction, and he passed on the power and all this stuff. I saw Jesus one day, and I heard the tone. He said, listen, I'm out. I'm gone, but you're going to do more work than me because you're still here. On this earth, you're going to do work. I'm out. I'm going to the Father right now. I done showed y'all how to do this already. Now, you ought to know what you're doing. But how do I get over there? I prayed in tongues. How many of y'all pray in tongues? Okay, you got it. And I come to church on the regular. We got that one down, right? Maybe we got it down sometimes. Pay my tithes. Do all the different things. And what is all that for anyway? What's all that for? What's all that teaching me? They put the pressure on me to be on time. They put the pressure on me to be there. And put the pressure on me to do different things. What is that for? There's a simple thing. Don't go to John 15. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 real quick. And you think it's a love chapter, but I'm going to show you what it is. It's really the dying chapter. It's really the kill yourself chapter. Kill your wants. What you think is about. That got to die. We come to prayer. We sing praise and worship. We lay before the altar. We cry in the spirit. And I'm not making fun. I'm just saying there's all the things that we do. And though I speak with the tongues of men, y'all 1 Corinthians 13, y'all there? Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, y'all see charity? Yeah. Charity just means love, all right? And have not love, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries, and all knowledge, and though I have all what? Wow, that's a lot. But all mysteries, all knowledge, and all faith, so that I could remove mountains. We just talking about moving mountains, right? And then have not, then what it says. Now, and just right here is connected the I am to nothing. Without love. And though I bestow all my goods, I'm a giver. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor. And then here we go now. This little extra right here. I give my body to be burned. And have not love, it profits nothing. And have not love, it profits nothing. Now, I got to teach you something about love, because love ain't a smile. It ain't a relationship. It ain't a card. It ain't being friendly. Friendly is friendly. Friendly is friendly. Like, when you're being friendly, that's friendly. Love is not defined by friendliness. Right? Like, I'm sure you'll be friendly, but it doesn't end with just friendly. Because you got to do something else for your friend. John chapter 15. I'm going to show you what love looked like. Okay. We're going to see how far you willing to take this. Let's see. Make sure I got the right one. verse 13, and we can, you know, John 15 and 7, and I'm a true vine, my father's husband, every branch that he beareth, me fruit take away, and everyone that beareth not fruit, he purges, that he may run more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken to you, abide in me and I in you. And he starts telling that we are one. Verse 13, you read it, ready, read. Friendly, huh? What, read it again. Read it again. There is no greater love or no greater love than this, or the definition or defining of great love or real love or what love is that you would lay down your life for another. You'll lay down what you want for somebody else. I say, I know it always get quiet in church on this scripture, because this one get deep down into your heart and deep down into your relationship and deep down into your family and deep down into your household and deep down into your dreams and your desires and your situation. And it gets deep down and it starts to challenge what you've been doing and who you've been being, because there's no greater love than this, than that a man would lay down his life. He didn't say for your sister or brother, he said for your friends. Then 1 John, come on, flip over there real quick. 1 John. Chapter 3. Verse 3:16. Y'all know what John 3:16 say, huh? Do we have to turn there? What John 3:16 say? Go. Some of y'all mouth ain't moving. Ah, John 3:16. Come on, go. Ready, go. So for God so loved the world that he gave his son. Hold on. Describe it. What he gave is what? Is the only. Everybody say only. Say it with love. Say only one. The only one. Okay. Now he put that in there for a reason. That he gave his only son. He gave his only son. Remember now, the son makes you equal with the father, which means he gave himself for you. If he said one of his sons, then it would have been something, but he said the only one. That means he had to deep in the bag and get to that little part that you don't want nobody to touch. You know, you got the little piece of money that you don't want nobody to get into. Or you got the little part of your life that you don't really want nobody to talk about, so you don't really tell the truth. You say stuff be wrong, but you don't tell a part about that one, because you don't want nobody to touch that one. Although that's the one that need to be touched, the deep, deep down one, because you begin to change things at the root. In order to get to the root, you got to dig a little. You get a little dirty, huh? 2:3:16, John 3:16, and 1 John 3:16. Read it. 1 John 3:16. Look at it. Go look at it. Hereby we perceive, so we can see it, we can understand it, we can conceive what the love of God is. Hereby we perceive the love of God, because he laid, talking about Jesus, he laid, and he's talking about God himself. He laid down his life for who? So if he did it for us, then we ought to lay down our lives. Lord help us, Jesus is right. So for me to truly be like Jesus is really not in my prayer. Although my prayer helped me, it should push me to in that direction. But it can't be left up to my prayers, all my laying on the altar, all my praise, all my fasting, all those things are means to a death. But for me to really be like Christ, it got to be some laying down. Uh-oh, everybody say uh-oh. It got to be some laying down and some giving up. It got to be some putting on the line. It got to be some things that I am willing to die to so that it can resurrect. See, there cannot be a resurrection until there's a death. And everybody wants resurrection, praise the Lord, but you got to go through death. You cannot get, what you want, your health to resurrect? It ain't going to resurrect until it goes through a death. Some stuff you got to die to. It's something that you eating, something that you taking in, some conversation that you having, some people that's talking to you, some kinfolks that's having conversations with you that you don't want to cut off and you don't want to die to, so your health cannot resurrect. Your money cannot resurrect until you bleed out. Who it belonged to anyway? David then was given billions of dollars over there in Chronicles. And he said, who are we that we making a big deal about our giving, but we only giving back to you what's already yours? Who gave it to you? Well, I worked for it. Who gave you the power to work? Them eyes that you use to see that little whatever you're looking at, and to walk into that door and to drive over there. Who gave you that? But there's no greater love than if you lay down your life. And I have to tell you tonight that I'm going to mess with your head, but I got to do it, that a lot of things you think is your life is really not your life, is a situation. And a lot of things you built your life upon is the reason that the house keep falling when the wind blows. Because it wasn't a rock, and we know who the rock is, huh? Who is the rock? Jesus is the rock, and then that's you. Christ is the rock, and then Christ is who you really are, right? So if you build off the right thing, the house won't fall. But we built off for all these different situations and relationships and jobs and careers and how much money we got, how much money we don't got, all these different things, and we figured out that this has become, and we called this our life. We even call our self-worth by the things that are around us and not what's on the inside of us. And so there's some dying that we got to do. There's some laying down. And it's funny because Jesus would say, deny yourself, take up the cross. So you got to lay some things down and then take something up. Like, you got to lay it down, though. All right? If I take your life, I murdered you. If you lay it down, you made a sacrifice. God is not a murderer. The Father is not a murderer. He's not built like that. You remember them people, they wanted to call a fire from heaven? The people was over there, they wanted to call fire from heaven because the people ain't want to listen to Jesus. Jesus said, you don't know what spirit you came from. We ain't came to take life. We came to give it. He's not a murderer, so he's not going to take it from you. You got to lay it down. But some of the things that we do and some of the motions that we go through, and I know we mean it with a good heart and we mean it with good reason, but sometimes those are the scriptures that we get caught up in the jungle and we never get all the way to life. You get it? And so now, watch this. There's really no way around this, what I'm about to say. And there's no, Jesus made this statement before he had to go die, and he said, if you can't, let this cup pass from me. Remember that? Now, do y'all remember that? He said, if you can, let this cup. If you can, Father, let this cup. Like, in other words, if you can we do this another way? If you can you show me the alternate route or the detour? Or can we get this done another way without going through this? If we can, let this cup pass from me. He said, but no, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Say, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Say it again, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I'm going to say it again. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. See, we keep passing the cup, and that's why I said this years ago. We keep passing the cup, and that's why our cup can't overflow like it talks about in Psalms, because we keep passing the cup. See, when you get the cup, you got to go ahead and die.
Right. Yeah. That's good, Lord. That's good.
And so there are things that we do and things that we function in and ways that we think are the way to get things done, but it's really the ways we got to die to so that we can live the life that God has called us to live and be everything he called us to be. You know, you can live on two sides of something. And it'd be the same way. Remember I was talking about Sunday, you could be the right person and have a good vehicle, but if you get in there backwards, it won't work right. Right? Come on, you got the right clothes right now, they your size, but if you put them on backwards, they not gonna fit right. Come on, but it ain't nothing, you still a person, and they still clothes, but you just got the wrong direction. You got the wrong perception, or the relationship with it is wrong. And so, death comes before resurrection. Everybody talking about eternal life, but don't nobody want to die. How good heaven is. Oh, we can't wait. Yeah, you can. You must be waiting. We can't wait to get to glory, okay? Say it again once I release you. Talk that noise. Listen, and convert, most time you're just scared to die, because you just, like, I know heaven never, but oh. Like, they be telling me them stories, and I believe them, but there's a little fear in there. All right, but you can convert that to purpose. See, the reason that you really want to stay is because you got a purpose. But everything around you is trying to give you a counterfeit purpose. Remember in the beginning in the garden, I got to say it, remember in the garden, in the Garden of Eden, it was a tree that they ate off of. And it was fruit. And another tree, the other fruit in the garden. So he didn't do it with another thing. He didn't do it with a weed or with you know, or some monster come out. No, it was a tree just like the other things. And it looked good for the eating. That's what the scriptures say. And then he began to tell him, yeah, you're going to be just like God, although you're already like him. And begin to try to tell you something, try to make you bite this to get something that you already had. And the trippy part about it was the action, them putting their faith in that against what they were told, gave the power to that. Remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil? Remember he got baptized and immediately he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, right? Y'all remember that? Yeah. I looked at the word temptation. The word temptation in the Greek really means experiment. So God was running an experiment with Jesus. Because you realize the Spirit led him into the wilderness, right? The Spirit led him into the wilderness. That was crazy. They say the Spirit led him to be tempted. We be praying our Father prayer, lead us not into temptation. And Jesus told the prayer, and I think he told the prayer because he had went through it. I get it. People, don't lead us in there. But you know, the Spirit sometimes is going to lead you in there to be an experiment to see if you really got what I've been talking to you about. And I can guarantee I can find out all of our failures in there. We don't have to read no further in those scriptures. We can find out all our failures in there. We can find out where we falter. Because he gets there. I ain't got time to read it. He gets there. And he said, turn it. You're hungry. Always hungry. And the food be the thing that be getting us sometimes. Because you don't never study, pay attention to what these people putting in the food. You get, you just buy it and trust them. So the first thing he hit him with was the food. Because he knew he was fasting. You turn this rock into bread. You and I would have turned the rock into a loaf. Y'all, anybody ever fasted before? Yeah. I ain't talking about fasting from TV or from the internet or nothing like that. I'm talking about fasting from food. Yeah. I ain't talking about you fasting from sugar. Or certain. I'm talking about you didn't chew on nothing. Like you just drinking water and juice, right? Anybody ever fasted? Come on. Come on. You know the day after the fast is over. Y'all know it. The day after the fast is over, we about to turn up. Thanksgiving in the middle of the summer, it don't matter. So you knew what it was, because you've been used to eating a certain way. Now we didn't fast, but it ain't got to be 40. It could be 3 days. And like, I don't know what I'm going to do with myself. You're getting fidgety and fretful. After this, you about to turn this stone into bread. We about to eat up in here. And then don't try to punk me. Don't try to punk me and try me out and see if I got the power. I know I got the power. You ask me if I could turn the stone, if I be the Son of God. I am the Son of God. Bam! Come on, how many of y'all? I would have, come on. Come on, we learning. Thank God for the, we learning. Woo, we learning. I'd have turned it in. Yeah, yeah, I'd have showed the devil that I'm stronger than him. You know, we doing church. Show the enemy that we got the power. We're going to show the world that Jesus is Lord. Shut up. That'll be your demise. And it's really because it's about self. And the minute that you begin to follow the instructions of something else, or you begin to do something because of something else, that becomes your God. And you've forgotten your Father. Oh, we got to die. What is giving us our daily instruction? I listen to the Lord. Are you sure? Are there some things that I have to die to? In my consciousness, my understanding, I have to die and not let that thing control me. Because if I die to it, then on the other side, I got to resurrect. It doesn't mean that I get rid of the thing, but the thing becomes a new thing. He who is in Christ is a new creature. Old things are passed away, but then it says all things. Old things pass away, but all things become new. Well, all things include the old things, which means those old things have to be a new thing because it's resurrected in Christ. Are y'all hearing me? So some of the things that we have in our life, I gotta finish because I gotta go back to the temptation. But some of the things we have in our lives that are not working, it's not because that thing is not supposed to be in our lives, but we have the wrong relation with that thing. And so it keeps causing drama. Sometimes our relationships cause drama because we have the wrong perspective on them. We're not standing the right way. Why are we fussing all the time? Just can't get along. What's going on here? He check him out with the bread and the stone. Then he said, he take him up and said, well, you can cast yourself down here. You can fly. I believe I can fly, right? You cast yourself down, you can fly. He's trying to test him, trying to experiment him, trying to make him use his power for something other than what the power was used for. Now you realize there ain't nobody else there. So y'all, and one thing you can know about Jesus is that he didn't use his power for all himself. He used it for other people. What are we using the power for? So nobody else was there, so there's no reason. What are we doing? It's just me and the devil. Sometimes it's how our prayers be. We rebuking the devil, just us and the devil in the room. You got power over that. Then you cast yourself down. You just showing off. I'm going to jump off. I'm going to show the devil I can fly. And last thing you get to, he say, I'll take you up and then I'll take you to all the world. I'll show you all the kingdoms, all the riches and everything. I'll show you can have all this if you just bow down. All that stuff everybody working for, you can have it. You just bow down and worship me. Get behind me, Satan. Because you're trying to get me out of my character. You're trying to make me function in a way that I'm not meant to function. But I bet you can find yourself in somewhere in there. And the thing that you struggle with, or the thing that isn't working is like it's supposed to be, are the places you realize you should be getting more power, but it's not there. It's a failure in one of those ways or another. Y'all, we're not here to fight the devil, no. No. Let me say it again. We're not here to fight the devil. That's not our mission. Our mission is not to fight the devil. God did not send us here, oh, the devil down there running around, so I'm going to send you down there to beat him up. No, that was not why you were sent here. You're not sent here to fight the devil. He's here to try to deceive you. You better understand. Are y'all understanding me? So now this temptation, this experiment is trying to get him out of himself, trying to get him out of his character, trying to get him to do other things to prove something to somebody. Trying to prove himself. I'm trying to prove that I'm spiritual. I'm trying to prove that I'm a son of God. I'm trying to prove that I'm worthy. You have already been approved. Listen to me. Let me say, look at me well. You have already been approved. He approved you even before you thought about approval. Before you can spell the word, you were already approved. All right, before you came to a church, or this church, or any church, before you prayed any prayers, before you prayed any tongues, you were already approved. God had already made his mind up that he was going to love you automatically with or without your understanding. So you've already been approved. But everything in this system, and I want to say everything, God doggone, almost everything in this system is trying to get you to think that you're made for another purpose. So you don't want to, there's some things you don't want to lay down. I ain't going to no other scripture. I'm about to stay right there for a second. There's some things that you don't want to lay down. There's some things that you got in there that you're not willing to put on the altar. Remember Abraham? He said, Abraham, the reason God started talking to Abraham, I don't have time to go there in Genesis chapter 3, but God told Abraham, get out from your family, from the kingdom, I'm going to make you, I'm going to bless you, start talking to you. God just started talking to Abraham, all right, and tells him everything he's going to do. Abraham get the question in God, well, how you going to do this, seeing I ain't got no heir? God ain't saying about no heir, he just started talking to him about what he wanted to do. Abraham had faith for an heir, so God had to put it in the equation because Abraham said it. Are y'all understanding? And so now later on, finally here, through tiles and through Ishmael and a bunch of junk and a bunch of laughing at God and all kind of stuff and a bunch of unfaithful moments, right? Yeah. We get to this point now where now Isaac is here and he says, get your sacrifice stuff. Get your sacrifice stuff and grab Isaac and meet me on the mountain. Get your knife. Get your wood. Get all of the things that you use to kill and sacrifice, and then grab your son, your only begotten. The promise, the one that you needed to show that God was really telling the truth. Take him up there. Because I'm going to show you that you don't need this for me to hold a promise to you. Take him up there. Go to the mountain. Go up there. Go up there. Go up there. Take him up there. So we get to walking, and Isaac say, hey, where the ram at? Hey, Dad, he done been on a couple of sacrifices. He done a couple of sacrifices with Dad. So he's like, where's the lamb? I know when you grab the knife, it's about to go down. You grab the knife in that wood, and you ready to go for it. Well, where the lamb at? Ain't nobody but me and you right now. And Abraham says, God's going to provide. Now, God never told Abraham he's going to provide. Maybe God was trying to do something else. Another message. Maybe God was trying, but so we get up there to the top. His only son, the one that was the promise, the one that represented the promise in the flesh. Right? The one that represented everything that he told you he was going to do. That thing. You thought, oh, I got this now. Now I done got Isaac. I done got Isaac. Now I know God going to use me. Now I done got Isaac. I know he going to do what he said to do. Now he done gave me Isaac. I know he going to get it done tonight and gave me a million. I know he going to do it now. He done gave me a marriage. I know he going to do it tonight and gave me some kids. All that sand. So I'm going to take it up. Take it up to the top. Right? And it get a little worse because we get up to where we're supposed to go. You know, and that word kind of held Isaac for a little while. He going to provide a ram. So I was like, all right, I trust you, Dad. I'm just walking slow, but I trust you. But then he get up there, and Dad, and then Abraham grab him. He said, hold on, this how you be grabbing them cows and my hand about. This how you, hold on, what's going on here? And I can imagine the boy might have been screaming. The boy, we're gonna use our imagination. Come on, you. You grown right now. And we could tell you that the Lord told us to make you a sacrifice. With your grown self. And as soon as we get to that ladder line, no. You know, you're gonna fight. You're gonna fight to live. You're going to fight. Then he start grabbing him and tying him up and setting up the sacrifice like it's supposed to be. Oh, Lord, he done laid me on the altar. He put the boy up on there. Now, I'm just using my imagination what the altar looked like, but I know the boy is laying up on top of this thing, and he got this big old knife about to go to town. I done seen him do the work on them bulls and them rams. And we go as far as to pull the knife in the air. See, God is trying to show us something. The Father was trying to show us. How far are you willing to go? How far are you willing to go for that stuff that you say you love? Can you put that on the altar? Can you put that on the altar? That thing, can you put it on the altar? Your child, could you put your child on the altar? These ain't no fairy tale, this really happened. Could you do it? He looking at you like, Mama, you better not. He's like, Mama, don't get no ideas. We good. It's a New Testament in the name of Jesus. With the price has been paid, we. There's a level of a sacrifice and an altar place that you got to do with a lot of these things in your life. And on the other side of that is Christ, you as Christ, your Christ life. Are y'all understanding me? But we got these sacred cows. We got these sacred cows, man, and I don't know where they come from. I do know where they come from, but I don't know where they come from. But these sacred cows, and we built our lives on this sand. And so a thing that should be working better than what it is, We have not crucified or die or let that thing die to the way that the society said it's supposed to be, so it never resurrected like Christ. So we live in our marriage like society said the marriage is supposed to go, and we can't live a resurrected Jesus Christ marriage. And we're raising our children the way society says children are supposed to be raised, and so we don't die to that concept of thinking. We're more conformed than we think we are. Hey! We are more conformed to this world than we think we are. And so we get the same results. So my child act like their child. Because we hadn't died to it. We haven't put our soul on the altar. In Mark 10, he goes over and he says, they start talking about the rich young ruler, and he asked the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler come and start talking that noise, talking about, I'll be at prayer, I done prayed, I know all the commandments and everything. He said, okay, cool, one thing thou lack is go sell what you got and give it to the poor, because it's the only thing you lack, and then you come take up the cross and follow me. This young man goes away sad. So now Jesus goes talking, and he said, how hard is it for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven, right? He said, it's easier for a camel to enter into the eye of the needle. And they start talking about, but with men is impossible, not with God, for with God, all things are possible. So then disciples are talking about, well, we done left everything, what you talking about? But we left it all, and with it, he said, nobody has left. And then he go down a list. This list is a, I had to read this list a couple times. There's a couple things on this list we can't give up, or we wouldn't put on the altar. Yeah, I said, there's no man that had left house. Our brothers, our sisters. There's red words now. Our father, our mother, our wife. You can put husband right there, ladies. Our children, our lands. What's the last line? What's the last line? Y'all don't want to read this one? What's wrong? For my sake and the gospel's. But he shall receive 100-fold now in what time? This time in houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands and persecution in the world to come in eternal life. But many that are first shall be last and the last shall be first. But this list really gets it. You don't want to put that one on the altar. Love quiet church. Quiet church is my favorite church. Especially when I'm preaching, because that means you're thinking. Some of them that we don't want to put on the altar. Some of them we don't want to give up and submit that to the Father. And let him have that. You keep trying to take care of it. And you keep trying to do it. And you're failing miserably. Now, there's two sides of this, because it says, nobody's giving house and land, but, and then they receive 100-fold. I found out that Job, not only did that happen to Job, but it was an understanding of our story, or an example of two sides of fear. Because on the front side, Job had all his children. He had all this money. He had a lot of land and cattle. Like, he was balling. Job had everything he needed. And then because of fear, or because of what it was, there was an experiment here. You know, there was a temptation, right? You know, the devil was like, you know, he went and talked to Satan. Satan went and talked to God and said, he ain't gonna love you if I take all this stuff away. He ain't gonna love you if I take, and then the kids will die. He ain't gonna love you if I take all this stuff away. His experiment, his friends came on and tried to get him to curse God, his wife. Curse God and die. Then his friends come and try for chapters and chapters. They're trying to get him to say, you know, forget this, man. This ain't working for you no more. Job said, yet I will trust him. Yeah. And on the other side of this fear is the same thing. He got all the children, all the lands, and even got more than that. On the other side of that, on the other side that could not be touched or could not be taken away. It was a resurrected side. On the other side of fear, perfect love casts out fear. But you can't walk in love until you're willing to lay down your life. So many of the things, I got to stop here. Many of the things that are not working for us is because we're trying to work them. And we're not willing to go up on the altar with them. God going to provide a ram. Take it up the hill. But even if God didn't provide a ram, he can bring, he is life. He could have resurrected him. The only reason he had to provide a lamb because Abraham wanted a lamb, because he was a little nervous. Abraham didn't know if he was going to have a faith as a father to raise his son up. But we know he's a raiser because Jesus is a lie. Are y'all understanding me? But it's fearful because it's fearful. We don't want to put those things on the altar, and we don't want to crucify our minds and our thought processes because we've had them for so long, and we think if we get rid of those, we don't know what we're going to have to stand on. But we still topsy-turvy already. We got to die. This is our pathway to being Christ in the flesh. These things got to crucify. It's going to sleep with you. Gonna be all up in your, in the name of Jesus, it's gonna be all up in your mind all night long. And all in your head. You ain't gonna be able to think about nothing else. Because it's gonna get serious to you. Because there is no other pathway. There is no other cup to drink from. Some of these things and these plans that you gotta die. And then to resurrect on the other side and be exactly what you wanted to be. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Stand on your feet. Ooh. Ooh, Lord. When apostle coming back? I don't know. I'm gonna hit you with the same thing. Oh, real quick, if you're here, and I'm just gonna give two invitations tonight. If you're here and you never made Jesus the Lord of your life, tonight is your night. Whatever you hear about every closet. You know, apostle makes a statement. He says when he's preaching, he says money is the elementary thing. I don't know. You ever heard him say that before? And, you know, elementary is the easiest part. Elementary, where we learn basic arithmetic. 1 + 2, I mean, it's the easiest part. Well, y'all remember elementary school, right? It's the easiest part. Why does this seem to be the hardest part? Why does it seem that we got to work really, really hard for this part? Like we're working for years and years trying to get some money, but it's like it don't show up, huh? Like it's not there and we confess, but it's like, why is this the hardest part? You know, perception is everything. Your perception and your perspective is everything. And see, what God is doing in your giving is changing your perspective about your money. See, this system has told us that we got to hold on, and if we ain't got none, we ain't none. You can say your self-worth. Are y'all understanding me? And so the Father says, all that I have is thine. Yes. I own it all. I owned it all before they made that green paper. And them banks that you got. And whatever else, them checks and checkbooks. Before they made all that, I owned it all and I still do. And you are my son. That means you own it too. Amen. But I got to change your perspective instead of grabbing the gift. Just one turn around. One turn around. Sometimes what you need is right on the turn. It's in the room. It's in the room. You're in the room with it already. But you just won't turn around. So it's changing your perspective. Lift it up, Father. I thank you for changing our perspective. All that I have is yours anyway. I will not allow money. I will not allow this system. I will not allow their system to control the way that I function. So I'm putting myself on the altar. I'm starting with this right now, with this seed. I'm putting on the altar. I'm saying this belongs to you. It is all yours. I don't depend on this. I depend on you. And everything that you have is mine. So I own all things. I change my mind now. I change my mind now. I change my mind now. Father, right now I repent. I repent right now. Repent means in the Greek to change your mind. I repent right now for my old systematic way of thinking about things, and I change my mind now. So I give this knowing that all is yours already. And so because it's all yours, it's all mine. Say it. Come on, say it. Because it's all yours, it's all mine. Because it's all yours, it's all mine. Because it's all yours, it's all mine. In the name of Jesus, us you may serve the people. I changed my mind. 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 You must gotta change my mind. I changed my mind. I changed my mind. I changed my mind. I changed my mind. changed my mind. I changed my mind. I actively changed my mind. I changed my thinking about this. Changed my mind. I changed my mind. Changed my mind. Changed my mind. Come on, y'all, we gotta do this. Y'all hear me? Listen, 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 listen. We gotta do this. Can we do this? But can we be this? Yeah. God has called, it's a different time now. Old thing, that old stuff don't work. We can't put the new wine in the old skins anymore. And we can't connect the old ways to the new cloth because it's going to mess it up. We're at a new place now. Whether we like it or not, we have been shoved off into a new place. And so let's be new people. Let's be resurrected people. We've got to do this. Say, I can do this.
I can do this.
Look at your neighbor and tell them, change your mind and you're dismissed.